Now we're gonna take up number 36. There's a lot of information in there. The suggestion was to add $40,000 for the specified patching equipment. The recommendation is not to. Would anybody like to make a motion to open up discussion on this item?
So moved.
All right, is there a second? Okay.
So you probably already know this, but I drive a little car and I keep finding more potholes this year than other years. And that's for people, small cars and limited budgets. We're setting them up for more repairs and expense and potentially an injury. And I know that, you know, there's a number of companies that make these machines that can fill a number of things with the same machine. So there's a dual tank one that does asphalt crack repair and it can fill larger potholes. And then with the same tow behind unit, you can patch squares of road. So it's kind of an all-in-one. Craftco makes, which is a company out of Portland. So it seems like an asset the city should have. I hear the part about not having someone trained, but regardless of that, the potholes are here in town. So either we hire a contractor at a higher expense per pothole to fill them, like Allen's or somebody, or we buy this machine and eventually the streets crew can all use it independently. That was the impetus behind this request.
And I think in discussions with Public Works on this issue, I think they're very interested in looking at this. They have no idea what, you know, they provided the material of things that they've looked at. But the other thing that's part of this too is you have to have storage facilities for the materials that are in the patcher. And you have to, you know, there's a few other things that they really want to.
You can store those cubes out on a covered open bay for about 3 years as their shelf life. And I assure you, there's a pallet's worth of potholes.
Yeah, and I know you've worked with this type of equipment.
Yeah, I have used this machine.
But David, do you want to address the issue from Public Works?
Yeah, I don't, Public Works isn't against the machine. I think the recommendation is to do a little more research. Maybe you have a demonstration by the manufacturer. Or Ryan, maybe, you know, if you have experience with one directly, you know, maybe we can go see it actually in action somewhere and then.
Our machine's in Salem.
Okay.
But it's over here sometimes. You know, the Craftco guys, they'll come do a demo, but you need to live near a golf course. They like to do demos in Redmond, near Eagle Crest.
Whatever, Redmond Street.
So you talk to the guy that owns a golf course in town here and set them up.
Right.
With some deals and they'll come over and bring all their machinery. So they mostly sell a mastic pothole filler machine, which is what I'm talking about. They also sell a water-based seal cut machine and just a pothole patcher, which can kind of go back of a one ton. And then they have a couple other small accessories to go with the combo mastic crack sealer. It's all in craftco.com if you want to look at the different models. But if you want to wait a year, great, but the issue remains. We have more potholes now, especially all of our intersections that are causing problems and creating a pretty large traffic hazard. So I am in favor of hearing how we might not buy the machine yet address the pothole issue, make a proposal.
Dean, go ahead.
I have a question. I saw a report on the news a couple weeks ago in Portland that Portland has been paying out money for wheel alignments and tire replacements on potholes. Do we do that, A? And B, is that figure small, large?
Well, if we get a claim, it goes to our carrier and they make a determination.
Okay. So we don't have a direct cost in that?
We don't get too many claims of that nature, I don't think. How many claims a year would we get?
Not really many pothole claims, just maybe, you know, a handful over the last 20 years.
Well, I assure you, people are being impacted, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I can file a claim tomorrow, then?
Yeah, I hit one with a leaf, and I thought my wheel broke. I mean, it's a one on Herbert and 101 there.
But the issue, I guess the choice is, you know, I think there's an interest in us looking at the equipment to get the equipment that would fit our operation. We just aren't sure that this is exactly what we would need to best fit our situations. But, you know, that's why we're hesitant about making a recommendation.
Well, yeah, but I think your motion was for that specific piece of equipment or just to have the money to start
a
make a good start?
Pothole filler machine.
Okay, I mean, is that the only technology that fills potholes? I don't know anything about it, so.
Well, it's you either use a hot material or you go get hot patch from the asphalt plant and do it manually, but there's a lot of options.
All right, but the $40,000 would be used to give the Public Works Department a leg up on getting started on our pothole problem, whatever form that takes.
Either a machine or contract or materials to do it.
Yeah, and I would say, because we do contract to do patches, but if it's a machine, I think that's a separate item from using it for contractual purposes. And if that's the direction the budget committee is recommending, you know, we can put that in the budget and do our evaluations and see what we can do.
So is your motion limited? Let me just clarify here. Your motion limited to a machine or just money to work on the pothole problem?
Either buy a machine to fill them in-house or contract out within a reasonable amount of time.
So I agree with Ryan. I think our potholes are getting pretty aggressive with tires and stuff. We've done 101 quite a bit, you know, just to avoid potholes.
Yeah, 101 is not our responsibility.
So. Yeah, no, I know, but there's some others.
There are side streets.
Side streets are
on 9th Street. There's a pothole. There's several potholes here and there. And
probably even one or two on Golf Course Drive.
There are quite a few on Golf Course Drive. I'm not going to bring that up. But John Moore is a problem. You know, I mean, we have a lot of issues around town, and potholes are becoming more and more of a problem, Spencer. So I don't know whether machine is the right answer, but I think we need to throw some money at it.
Yeah. I can just say from my personal experience, it's not just small cars. You drive an RV down any of these streets, and you feel like you're taking your life in your own hands when they hit those things fall out of the shelves.
Yeah,
it was
the craziest thing. This RV with Washington plates hit a pothole, and the whole front of the RV fell off. And now it's over in the Herbert lot.
I deserve it.
Craziest thing.
Okay, any more discussion on allocating $40,000 for either contracting or equipment purchase to start working on potholes?
So the motion is for patching equipment, so can we amend the motion?
The motion, as he stated, it was for contracting or equipment.
Okay.
He revised it.
Okay.
Yeah. Backpedaling furiously over here.
Any more discussion? All in favor of this motion? Any opposed? I see two opposed. Motion passes.
Don't get me wrong, I'm all for getting rid of the potholes. I just think that should be done under the current scope of work. That's the reason for my vote.
I'd like to see more.
Dean wants to see more potholes. Okay.
Yeah, I'm from New York. You can't pothole me.
All right, moving on. Number 39, thermoplastic decals on the stormwater grates. The recommendation is to use a volunteer or volunteers to affix these where they're appropriate. One alternate would be seasonal employee, $8,000 from the stormwater fund. So do we have a motion either to find a volunteer and
we
get
do
it
have
done?
We do have the materials.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll move to do it one way or the other.
Well, one is no cost, one, except for staff time. The other one is $8,000.
Let's have the employee do it so that there's a standard. I mean, if we could, Sir Fry would do it if we gave him the materials, but then he'd still have to employ standard supervising, right? So might as well be done in-house. What does David think?
Yeah, David, thoughts on that seasonal employee or coordinating efforts with an organization like Surf Riders or others?
Well, if we could do a volunteer, that would be the best. You know, Surf Riders or whoever. Again, it comes down to staffing and time, you know, to do this, the work. We have, you know, right-way maintenance to take care of, potholes, all these other things with a limited crew, so if we don't want to take care of those kind of things and concentrate on this effort, then that's great. It's just a matter of what's the priority for the city.
Okay, volunteer it is.
Okay. And you would be able to bring Surf Rider or some other organization up to speed enough with a minimal effort so that they could then assign it and get it done.
Yeah, we'd have to train them, and then right. They would have to, yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that the Boy Scouts are always looking for projects to do. Okay. And when somebody wants to do the Eagle, the first thing they go is, what can we do? And I think this would be a good thing to reach out to.
This was an Eagle Scout project originally.
Yeah, so great. I don't care who does it.
Okay. So the motion is to find a volunteer organization or people to affix these decals, and there would be no budgetary impact on doing that. You're going to second. Okay, Dean seconds it. Any further discussion?
I just want to mention that I think the public understanding of storm drains not being treated and that water just goes out into the beach is very limited. So these decals do provide free passive education, and it's important to have those out there.
Yep.
I just wanted to mention that I believe the Arco Iris organization was looking for a way to do like sponsor, sort of like the adopt a street type program. So I think that in addition to the Eagle Scouts, there might also be some other nonprofits.
Who was the organization?
Arco Iris. They're the new.
Adopt a Drain.
Yeah.
You know, through Olala. Olala Center.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And they're new.
They do quite a bit of work.
Mm-hmm. How about Job Corps? Don't they do that too?
Okay, so I think we're all in agreement.
I think we're all in agreement. It should be done. All in favor? Any opposed? Abstentions? Pass.
Speaking of thermoplastic.
Next item is the skid steer power unit for parks maintenance. I assume this is a lawnmower.
It
never actually says that.
Oh, it's a cow.
Cow.
No, it's like a herd of goats. Right?
Yeah. We'll have Mike explain what it is if you want. So.
Sure.
A cow.
Mike?
Oh, now. Okay. Got it. Sorry, Spencer. I didn't see the now mark. My apologies. So a skid steer, it's like if you guys are familiar with a bobcat, or anybody familiar with what bobcats are, it's like it's a even minier version of that where you're either walking behind it or some have models where you can stand on like a plate. And you're not walking, you're just kind of hovering behind it. And so it's a smaller version of a bobcat that gets into tighter spots. Our staff can obviously use it at bigger locations too. And David would tell you that our staff has been, in the last probably 6 months, leaning heavily on the public works guys and their capabilities with some of their equipment. And this would help us significantly. This was a piece of equipment we were looking at and wanting. My staff's been wanting it for about a year and a half now, and I was trying to strategically go through the funding process and do this a certain way, and this just happened to come up a year early, so we would definitely love to have this piece of equipment.
Do we have a motion to purchase that piece of equipment? CM, second?
Yes.
Ryan? Okay, any more discussion?
Quick question for Mike. Do you have somewhere inside the park it with the implements?
Yes, currently we have a 1989 Kubota tractor that we would probably be able to resell and offset, and that would open up storage space also for this.
Do you want to keep those implements inside?
Yeah, and then any implements that go with it, we'll have that inside also.
Okay, any more discussion?
All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Passes. Next one is $50,000 for Wilder Dog Park improvements. And the recommendation is not to fund that work for the Wilder Dog Park. Mike, can you describe what's going on there and what you're gonna do to fix it?
Bob loves to talk about it.
Whatever we wanna do to fix it. No. So the Wilder Dog Park's got some soggy drainage issues over there. The original, or that location that it's sitting on, was originally, I believe, a pond of some sort. And so during the original Wilder construction, they backfilled over that, or not a pond, but it was a drainage area. It was built on soggy land already. Yeah, we're looking at evaluating moving the gate for the dog park itself and move it to a higher location. Improvements with the double entry gate itself, putting cement in there instead of it having been dirt and chips. We definitely have been neglecting our responsibilities for putting in new materials in there to keep it from being extra soggy. So that's one thing in discussions I've already had with PUD and some other outside companies with what they do with their chips and how we can access some free chips. We've looked at manufactured chips also, potentially getting those brought in. There are some discussions that I need to have with Wilder, but I've already had with our park maintenance supervisor building in some erosion prevention bars there. For where the erosion is already happening, going down towards the current entrance. So there's some options there where we can move the fencing around, put in some erosion barriers, and I think we can shore up what the current materials that the dogs are playing on. I think we can do this at a low cost.
The other thing, Mike, is this is a temporary location.
Yes, and the reason, after discussion with Spencer, not doing this funding is because it is private property. We are in agreement with Wilder and Landways, and at any point in time, they could change their plans and how they want to go about the phases of the development up there. And so, investing that large amount of money might not be the best at this time for that location.
Yeah, I would wonder, that is a lot of money, $50,000. Do you... In order to accomplish the kind of things you described, do you need any additional money?
I don't think so. We've got a lot of things that we need to explore first. I think we can either get materials that are at fairly low cost or for free, and I'd like to try that first before, seeing if we need to ask for additional funding.
Well, if that becomes necessary, I would encourage you to go back to the City Council, potentially for a supplemental. But do we have then, based on those descriptions, a motion to proceed?
Let me ask a question, would you? No. Mike, you mentioned, is that a private piece of property you said?
Yes, that Landways owns that property. So the Wilder Development Community owners there. They own that. I believe that is the third location of that dog park. It's already been there two times.
Is that controlled by an HOA or some kind of organization then?
Say that again?
It's Wilder's.
But it's a city park.
The land itself is part of the Wilder subdivision that they've done the various developments up there. At some point, this property is going to be developed as well, and then if there's a location to move the dog park, it'll move again. But the dog park has moved about three times.
But the dog park right now, it's on a piece of private property.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Why are we even considering spending city money on private property?
We didn't recommend that.
Oh, okay.
Well, it is a city park, and we do have a responsibility to maintain it as
it
a city park.
Heavily used by the community.
Very heavily.
That needs to be said.
Yeah. Okay. Do I hear a motion to?
I have some questions. Okay. So, what has prevented resourcing like the free chips that you're talking about now? Because I think that came up at the last meeting, was how the, for lack of a better term, ground floor of it just gets everything so dirty, even if it's the least bit wet,
right now. So like that was, I think, a concern. Like, what's preventing us from doing that now? And it sounds like you think there's more of a sure thing of getting more free chips, but like, is that a sure thing? And also, even if it is a private space, the like agility equipment is dated and unsafe for dogs, I think, at this point in time, and does need to be upgraded potentially. So, or taken out or something else there. I don't know, but like, it does need a little more attention. So if we don't assign a dollar value to this, is it going to happen?
Well, I'm agreeing with you on that.
Yeah.
Next year, developer go in there and tear it all out.
Right, but for the time, either with them, do we shut it down?
Answer the question.
So one difference between last year and this year is the park maintenance staff has gone through a big overhaul. We're evaluating how and where and why we're working at each location. We're evaluating, you know, what is in our locations and what they're looking like currently and where they need to be. And our expectations are pretty high, and they haven't been set high for some time. Bob and I had a recent conversation, and we've got a lot of areas in all of our parks, not just the dog park areas. We've got playgrounds falling apart. We've got security issues in open space because they've been neglected from being maintained and they're overgrown. We have buildings that are close to needing to be demolished or should be demolished. And so, you know, the park is, yeah, the playground or our dog parks have been neglected also, have not been given the time and attention that they need. And I think our staff, where we're at and where our staff can go with the levels that we have or soon hope to have, I think we can do this without investing a heavy amount of money. Putting in new structures, play areas, we can pull those out pretty quickly for that dog park, and then we can reinvest and buy those when we need to in small chunks, I think. We still got to evaluate a lot, but I want to see if our staff can do it responsibly and do it correctly with what we have before we start asking money. This is something we haven't paid much attention to that, I know, in the last year. And so if we can try to do this on the cheap, I think it's the best way to do it responsibly for the city.
I think one other thing that you have to remember, too, is that from a staffing standpoint, in the last year, Jim Gunther retired. We had a long gap before we were able to fill that position, and that position got filled.
I believe it was February.
In February of this year. We also then added the additional staffing, which was in conjunction with the room tax increase, to have better maintenance of our public areas. I think you're finally up to your budgeted staffing.
We have for city personnel, our seasonal or temp staff.
The full-time staffing, is that full staffing for the first time?
Yeah, they're all full-time staff, but our numbers of bodies that are working out of our shops haven't changed.
Right, besides one. Add seasonal employees, which is also a challenge right now to get seasonal employees. So, but we funded, basically, we added three full-time positions, maintaining all the seasonal employees that we had before. So I think we're going to see a difference in what these guys can do just with that staffing change over time. So, but it takes a while to catch up. So
staff's recommending tabling this item and not proceeding with it.
I'm asking if anybody would like to make a motion to proceed with additional funding. If not, we'll move on. Okay, next item 49, another $50,000, seems to be a popular number, to leverage for grant purposes. Would anybody like to make a motion to this effect to open up discussion on this?
I'll move on this.
Okay.
This is
Dietmar, any second?
This is something Cynthia wanted, yeah. So I'm going to support.
Did you?
Second.
Okay, CM, second. Okay, discussion.
So is this different than the $20,000 grant program we had running in last year's budget?
Yeah, no, this.
This is something different.
Yeah, this is something different, and quite frankly, I don't know how this works. So,
I think what Cynthia's idea was, she went to League of Oregon City, and she gathered a bunch of brochures on playground. She would like to see us upgrade our playground equipment.
Right.
And so this is seed money to help with grant, any potential grant match. If we don't get a grant, I guess we don't match it, but.
No, and quite frankly, the match of grants is not a problem. It's getting the application out for the grants. So I'm not sure what this does for us, but, you know.
But we could set aside $50,000 as potential seed money for playground equipment and grant.
We have money already appropriated for several playground projects that we hope to tie to grants. So I'm not sure what it does, so.
But doesn't the grant, usually we don't get 100% funding on grants.
No, if we're paying 100% funding on grants, we're in trouble. Usually we have to pay a match.
That's what I'm saying.
To a grant. We've appropriated a number of matches for grants for playground equipment in the budget already.
Already.
So I'm not sure what this does.
Or what this additional money does?
Correct.
It was just from.
Well, that's what I think Cynthia's idea was, to get us to the point where we have the money available, that if we get a grant, we can match it.
We have the money available.
Okay, so this is not.
I'm not sure what this does, so.
So Spencer, how much money there's for parks? I mean, more than 50, right?
Yeah, we've got a number of projects that are funded at several hundred thousand dollars. So anyway, you can do what you want, but it.
No, no, so I'm just saying that this is what I think Cynthia's idea was to upgrade our playground equipment and for our youth.
And we've got money appropriated to do that, to match grants already in the budget, so.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. I don't know that Cynthia knew that, so.
Well, may I speak to this? Also, we were at the League of Oregon Cities conference right at the end of April, but there were some State of Oregon grants that I had mentioned in our Parks and Rec meeting that were due up, like, for this cycle, that were, like, by April 30th, that I don't think that Parks was aware of to apply for. So I think it was like, how can we further leverage these dollars to bring more monies in? But it was like State of Oregon had all these local grant funding opportunities, but my understanding is it's annually, and it's like right at that time.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons we've appropriated funds for a person to manage grants in this budget, because that's what we need. The match is less of a problem than having the time to actually pursue the writing. So
how much money do you think you have appropriated for match money?
Do you remember, Mike, there's several hundred thousand dollars in the budget, so.
Or just for playground equipment?
Right, for playgrounds.
It's something, without looking at it, yeah, several hundred thousand dollars.
Yeah, I mean, between. Steve can look it up while we're going on to other things.
Well, I don't know that Cynthia knew that, but I think her motivation is to buy.
No, and I understand the motivation, and I agree with it. That's not holding us up from applying for grants, so.
Then I'll withdraw my motion, yeah.
Okay, motion's been withdrawn. Unless anybody else would like to re-propose this, we'll move on. Item number 50. Same, along the same line, renovate the equipment at Coast Park.
I had requested that.
Yeah.
Right. I've been down there, and I think I had, my impression was that the park was in a lot worse shape than it is.
Was it what?
My previous impression, I thought it needed a lot more work than I think it really does. And I think expertise on this, Mike. The one thing is that I saw a comment someplace around the landing area for that chute. And that really needs some attention. I mean, I've been down there and like some watch little kids come out of there and they're like.
Have you tried to jam in or?
Yeah,
this is Jam's favorite park.
It's hard for me to get even down.
Have you gone down it? Did you make that sound?
Mike, would you like to comment on Coast Park? Whether this funds would help achieve the goal of a safe.
Yeah, so Coast Park, we've been doing some work down there already, and we have some plans for the hillside that's along there by the slide. There are several pieces of equipment that are in the top play area that we pulled out over probably the last 6 months. One piece, we know we have the replacement. We just it's in. We just got to install it. The big improvements that we've identified would be around at the top of the slide, the pirate part, the pirate ship area. That's an area that hasn't had some of the safety features that it needs. And we've recently applied or were looking at a grant to apply to cover those funds for that project. But there are small rehab pieces that we can do there, but for the most part, we've identified the play area equipment that's already been, that's needed replacement, and we've ordered those parts. The slide itself is at the base, the manufactured chips. A big question I've been in that park is, were they using the slide appropriately? I've seen people using pizza boxes sliding down that slide, so, and they really shoot out.
Big brothers loading their little brothers.
Yeah, and that's usually where, you know, my five-year-old loves to wander around with the 10 and 12-year-olds, and I'm like, no. But yeah, the bottom of the slide there, that the manufactured chips that go there, that's an area that we know needs to be put in, and that we hope would be addressed if we can get this grant awarded to us. So that's one area.
And I appreciate the work that's been done. So I did have I had an impression based on where it had been at some point. And then
okay, well, given that description, would anybody like to make a motion to move this $30,000 forward? Okay, no motion, no vote. Next item 51, the $75,000 for bilingual outreach. And I had some comments. Well, anybody like to make a motion to open up discussion, or are there general questions about it?
Councilor Mateo Salgado would.
This is her deal, yeah.
Sorry. Dean, motion?
Oh, yeah, I'm making a motion.
Second.
Really should have been your motion.
Yeah, second. Well, he made the motion, I second it.
The description discussion. I'll put my two cents later. Anybody like to discuss this or ask any questions? CM.
I just want to make sure it's clarified that it's translation in the written text, but also possibly, if need be, interpretation in the spoken venue.
My question was $75,000 for bilingual outreach. And in all the descriptions, all I saw was things about translating. And I don't think, I mean, written documents or even anything else is part of outreach, but outreach itself is holding events or reaching out to communities. And I didn't see anything like that in the description here. And I'd like, if this does get approved, I'd like to see there be some effort for, you know, have a Cinco de Mayo in a park, city sponsored, or some actual outreach events where you get to talk to people about what the city is doing and those kinds of things, in addition to just translation that is just more or less routine, but it doesn't really get the word out. It just makes the word available.
I wanna say one of the things that we are thinking, you know, like at the library, I wanna speak up of the library, you know, or, you know, or any department, you know, if they wanna do like the police wants to do an outreach, and having materials available or flyers, you know, available to attract, you know, and also commercials, like a radio commercials, things, you know, to attract people to these events is very important, because right now there isn't something specific on, you know, translation or interpretation. Here, I don't know if we have like an interpretation part, but, you know, we are leaving interpretation here. It's just a translation. Yeah. So it's totally different, two different things.
Yeah, and just building on what Beatrice says, we do have a number of efforts going that are speaking to your issue through our Vision 2040 committee, through the library, through Parks and Rec. I think where the real need is to be translating more materials, you know, and that's kind of the focus that we took on this, because we don't do enough translation. And that's going to eat up funds fairly quickly.
Really fast.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion or questions? All in favor? Any opposed? Abstentions? Passes.
Can I make one comment?
Yes.
I just wanted to commend the Bloom Newport event for being an awesome multicultural event. That was the first time I've been in a public event since I've lived here in Newport that felt really multicultural and inclusive of all ages, and I thought it was awesome, and I hope they do it every year.
Which one's that?
The Bloom Newport. It was the fundraiser for the PAC, but it really felt just like a real community event because it was awesome. So.
And I think Jason Holland and the Leadership Lincoln class were kind of spearheading that, right?
Yeah.
Yay.
Very good. Moving on, we're at item 53, $15,000 to start a tree inventory. And the recommendation is not to provide funding at this time. And it says staff is exploring a state-funded volunteer program or local volunteers. Spencer?
I'll have Mike explain the, you know, where we're at with that.
So, for the inventory, tree inventory, we have the capabilities to do that with software that we already own with ArcGIS. And our ArcGIS coordinator with the city recently met with myself and park staff. And he himself was directly involved with the tree inventory project, at, I believe in Wilsonville is where he's from. And he said he directly dealt with that inventory project through GIS. So we have the capabilities there. And from manpower-wise, I think we could probably start with exploring a volunteer program and using some of our own residents, potentially. And we have recently received, in the last probably 4 to 6 months, two or three individuals that are interested in doing that, that have reached out to us. So I think we have the capabilities of doing this at a fairly low cost.
You have the staff to support that volunteer effort?
We have a GIS coordinator that can assist, and then our staff in-house will be able to oversee the volunteer program and empowering and training our the volunteers to do the actual data entry stuff in the field with a tablet and access to ArcGIS.
All right, given that, do we have a motion to allocate $15,000 to begin a citywide tree inventory? Not hearing a motion, move along.
The tree inventory?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that.
You missed the explanation.
Oh, okay.
Like, so Mike says they can do it anyway.
Oh, cool.
They're going to do it anyway.
Just so you know, they all have ivy on them.
Yeah, well, that's another
taking inventory.
You knew that already.
Oh, yeah. Item number 58 has already been covered. Unless anybody has any further questions about the SRO. Item 61, Moore Park Playground. The recommendation is an additional $40,000 over and above the $50,000 that's already allocated.
Yeah, this gets confusing.
Yeah, this gets a little confusing. Spencer, why don't you explain it to us?
Well, I'm going to try. But we have, these are all the pockets of monies that we have appropriated for various projects in the current fiscal year and in proposed in the next fiscal year for playground equipment. We are going after a grant for the Agate Beach Playground. We've got the local match there. We have money in the current budget year to replace playground equipment there. If we get the grant, that money is going to be shifted to the Moore Park Playground for improvements. And yes,
I show $310,000 for
it. $310,000. Getting back to the question, how much money do we have for match funds?
$310,000.
That's at least enough for a tire swing.
Right. I think it should be a pretty nice tire swing. But anyway, you know, so I think we've got money there. The issue will be more time and the ability to get these things done. And one of the things we don't want to do is overcommit what we think we can get done in a year, because we've got a fairly aggressive program to start getting things cleaned up. So anyway, I think funding-wise, I think we're covered.
Where's Moore Park?
That's by the skate park.
Oh, the skate park.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sam Moore Park.
So that currently has caution tape
right
around it. Yeah. So that seems kind of like a higher priority than waiting to see if there's funding from some. I feel like things that are actually like the dangerous agility equipment, like those feel like they should be higher priority than, you know, it doesn't seem like we should necessarily go park by park. We should go like danger by danger.
And Mike, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
The rating.
Yeah.
The road conditions.
Yeah.
Because that is the condition currently.
Yeah.
As you described it.
So the plan, if we were to tear down that playground, it wouldn't be a complete tear down. We know we have parts that are in there that are workable and usable. It's just the parts that they might be attached to might not be. So we've already gone through and evaluated that equipment. We can actually, the sections that we rip out, we can take some of those pieces and replace to keep an existing playground in place that's usable, not to the same scale of what the original size of that playground. So we can do that, but then, you know, from a funding standpoint, we should know if we have the grant funding for the larger rehab project for the Agate Beach Neighborhood Park, and we should know that by September.
So I guess I'm just confused about when something's dangerous, what is the priority of removing the danger? Even if you may be able to do something better later, could you at least remove the thing that's dangerous?
Yeah, what we were trying to do is come up with a plan at the same time as before just removing it. We wanted to have a plan in place, and that's where we were evaluating that at the time. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we came up with, we know we can take parts and put in and use and create still a workable playground, not to the same level as it originally was, but it will still be a workable playground until we get the appropriate amount of funding. And we have pieces that we've already purchased that will be, and I've already been talking with a playground design consultant, and we have pieces that are going to be, that are in storage now that we're going to be able to tie back into the new playground system that'll go there. So we have some concept ideas too in place.
So is that, is you're talking like a year or 2 years or 5 years or?
No, not 5 years, definitely not. 6 months to a year.
Thank you.
If you had this $40,000, would any of that change that schedule?
Not that I can think of.
Oh, I have a question. Do we have like a reserve money for immediately need part replacement pieces?
Yeah, in fact, we've ordered pieces for the park that we currently have to kind of piece together a playground to buy the time until we can do something more major, which would be a complete kind of renovation of that site. So that's kind of, I think, where you're at, Mike, with the Sam Moore Park playground.
That's correct. And we can also move one of the pieces that's from up there at the Agate Neighborhood Park, if we, with the funding from that project, or for that project, replace that equipment, one piece of those two rocks that's located out at that park, we can actually move that over and buy some other pieces that can tie into that to make it a more usable play area also. So that could be a piece that is moved from Agate to Sam Moore and do some smaller cost-effective add-ons to that to make it a workable playground.
Do you have also like included the person who does all the repairs and everything in this budget? Like, you know, if we need someone to do the jobs, do we have that also included?
For the repairs of the playground? Yeah, that would be staff. That would be our own staff. We have playground certified inspectors that are familiar with that are already on staff. We have replacement parts. But where the level that this playground's at right now, yeah, we can't even keep up with that. We were going to do the install of the new pieces, and that's what's led us, the domino effect of this piece failed, the piece that attaches to it is failing, the next piece is failing, and so our staff was going to do all that in-house.
Yeah, because the original plan was to restore what was there. Now it's to salvage what we can salvage and have a playground with a little less equipment until we can do a more major project.
But back to the safety issue, I mean, what are you going to do in the very near term to make sure that equipment is safe? Because a single lawsuit can make all of this move.
And we're going to remove that equipment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, do I hear any kind of motion related to extra funding for Moore Park Playground? Okay, not hearing any. We will move on to item number 62, Suggestion that hangar rents be increased by 20%, generating an additional revenue of about $4,600 for the airport fund. Recommendation is not to do any increase at this time, but have the council and the airport committee review the rents in preparation for next year's budget. Anybody like to make a motion about hangar rents? To open discussion even? Yes.
I'll move that city council and the airport committee review the hangar rates in preparation for the 2023-2024 budget based on current demand for these facilities.
Okay. I'll second that. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor? Any opposed? Abstentions? That motion passes. Next one is item 64, $50,000. This says in the current year budget, but I assume that means 22-23.
Correct.
For a new joint fire facility with ODF. Chief, you want to talk about what's going on there?
I'm not sure whether I should begin this or whether maybe Derek might be, this might be better. It's not quite, not so much in my realm yet as it's been okay. More in,
all right, didn't
in
realize
Derek's
that.
And in his realm.
Sure, the city council's been...
Microphone.
The city council has been in negotiations with the Oregon Department of Forestry to make available the city's property on North at 73rd Street, the what we call a Northside Station, which was a contractor's building before it was purchased by the city some time ago. This is around 2012 or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that building was never really suitable for full-time use as a fire station. And so ODF has worked out with the adjacent property owner, which is Western States. They're going through a replat now to acquire some of Western States land. And then they would acquire the city's fire station, demo that building, and build a new facility within which the city would have two fire bays, office space, sleeping areas, basically a portion, about 9-10% of that facility would be dedicated to the city of Newport for a proper Northside fire station and a facility that's built for that purpose, seismically suitable at that location, all of that. The value of the city station is less than what the cost will be to construct the city's portion of a new facility. The cost difference would be $100,000. That would be a not-to-exceed figure in an agreement, which has yet to be authorized at this point. We've got a MOU in place for some of the preliminary work, memorandum of understanding. A second memorandum of understanding is being developed along with the purchase agreement that would be presented to the council in the coming months. Given the construction schedule, we have two fiscal years to budget the $100,000. And so this would be the first opportunity to get $50,000 of it budgeted into a reserve. And then next fiscal year, another $50,000. So that would cover the city's portion, what basically the city needs to bring to the table as part of the agreement for the new facility. City's costs on the new facility would be limited to operation and maintenance. So it would be a long-term lease where we would be paying, $12,000-$13,000 a year. But, you know, utilities would be provided, except for, I think, fiber. And again, that's the city's share of the maintenance of the building moving forward after it's built. So that's what this is about.
All All right, anybody like to make a motion to open up discussion on this item?
I'll move on it.
I'll second it. Ryan, second. Martin, all right.
Fire alarm.
Any questions?
Derek, I have a question.
Yes.
So the city is donating the land and the property plus the $100,000, that's right?
Right, that would be the city's contribution.
And then we are obligated to maintenance on our portion only?
It's basically, yes, our proportional share.
Okay.
Of the entire facility.
So it's a dollar amount, it's not necessarily a piece of the building?
Correct, it's a dollar amount.
And so the city's giving up ownership of anything in this case?
Yeah, the city's giving, well, correct, would be going under a long-term lease.
There'll be no partial ownership of this new combined facility?
Correct, it would be a long-term lease.
That'd be, what, a 99-year lease or something?
No, I don't think it would be a 99-year lease. You haven't, we have to still work through the lease terms, but I would assume it's probably around 20 years as initial term with options for extensions.
And we would then pay ODF for that lease, and is that our obligation to also pay? Or is our, our land and building would pay for that lease?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's our contribution to get that space. We're just paying the cost of utilities and any maintenance to the building based on our percentage of the space.
And then we pay a proportional amount of the energy and sewer rates and water and all that.
Which was about $12,000 a year. And currently, the other thing that I didn't include in here, which I should have, but we have a couple budgeted projects for the fire hall that go away. So some of this actually gets offset because we already had some money in the current year budget to make some improvements to that facility that we won't have to do.
That was going to be my, have we put any real money into that facility in the last year? I seem to remember it being.
In the last year, we have not, but again, that's because we had projects budgeted, but we held off due to these negotiations. I'll just add that as the fire department, we are fully in support of this. I mean, to get a new fire facility for basically the cost of, you know, $100,000, it's kind of a no-brainer to us. So we definitely support this.
Well, we also have land and building.
No, I was going to say there's a write-off of land and building.
So the building is getting torn down, is that right?
Yeah, it would be torn down. It's a 20-year-old building.
Yeah, that was never designed as a fire station.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions or discussion? Okay, we'll have a vote on item 64. Obligate $50,000 in a reserve in preparation for another $50,000 next year in this joint facility. All in favor?
Great opportunity.
Any opposed? Abstention? Okay, passed. Item 65. Proposal is carry over $139,741 to this coming fiscal year budget that was appropriated in the current fiscal year budget. And so this is an authorization for a carryover. Anybody make a motion? Oh.
Yeah, just a little further explanation. These are the Ford Family Foundation grant funds that we received for the visioning process. Because of COVID, we did not spend our funds during the time period that they originally intended. Ford Family Foundation has already paid us the money, but they are allowing us to extend this forward. It also includes the city's commitment, which was $25,000 a year or $50,000 less all the expenses. And that's what comes up with the $139,000 that's still unspent for this purpose that we'll be using in the next fiscal year.
I move that we fund this proposal.
Okay. Moved by Dean, seconded by Arjun. Any further discussion or questions?
We can't spend money fast enough. What's the problem?
It's a problem sometimes.
All in favor? Any opposed? Abstentions?
Just on that issue, too, one of the real challenges of spending this money is much of this money was spent for community events and community get-togethers.
which was kind of hard to do over the last 2 years.
3 years now.
Do by Zoom.
Okay, next item, 66, network support. We're looking to add $22,000 to extend the warranty on the city's network system. That term is a little vague, but we certainly don't want to not have a warranty. But what is the city's network system?
It's basically our entire system of the that tie all our systems together, the computers that run that the city network. And they've been replaced. The warranty expires at the end of this year. This will extend the warranty.
So this is hardware warranty?
Yeah, this is hardware.
This is where you get the calls every day on your car warranty.
It's a hardware warranty, Spencer?
What's that?
Did you say a hardware warranty?
Yes.
Yeah.
How much hardware are you insuring with this $22,000?
Lots. It was a pricey, because this ties all of our systems together for the entire city, all our operations, a wastewater plant, water plant, you know.
Does it also include all of this kind of stuff?
So this is the storage for all of your systems.
Oh, definitely.
It's not the network itself. This is a storage area network.
Yes, this is.
This is the servers?
Well, you're pushing me to a point where I'm not real comfortable speaking.
The servers need to store their data their information somewhere. This is the solid, the central repository for all the storage.
Yeah, and it is.
Should I get help?
Yeah, it's written, yeah. This is phone a friend time. Okay, Richard.
Oh, there you are.
This is just the storage area network, so it's all the disks and the controllers. It's not the servers, it's not the networking that joins them, it's just the hardware of the storage itself.
So yeah, if that dies, you lose everything.
So it's storage area network.
And what's the overall value of that equipment that is covered by this warranty, roughly?
It's about 300.
Okay.
1,000.
That answers the question.
Yep.
$100, 300,000.
Richard, you've got... Don't go too far. Yes.
Okay.
Steve has questions. I have questions.
Excuse me.
Oh yeah. Did we have a motion yet?
No, I'm not motioning anything. I have a question. How does the $22,000 compare to what you paid last year? Is it has it gone up 10%?
So the warranty expired. That's why we need.
It was folded into the purchase.
Uh-huh. Okay, the warranty was into
the old extended warranty.
Yeah. So this was the phone call.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody like to make this motion? Dean?
I'm moved.
Thank
I'll
you.
Make the motion.
Second? Okay. You are?
Jeff.
Sorry.
Johnson.
Thank you.
I second.
Okay, any further discussion or questions for Richard or anybody else? Okay, all in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? Done with that. Dark Trace IT Contract Services. An additional $4,000 is.
$34,000.
Why does it say $4,000?
That's a typo.
Yeah.
Typo?
It's right on $34,536.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Additional $35,536 from the general fund for Dark Trace IT Contract Services.
Richard?
we actually ended a four-year contract, so we didn't know when that we were going to get approved for that. We did just get approved for that. So this is, but that happened before, after the budget was submitted. So this is basically an adjustment for next year's budget.
This is
this
cyber
would
stuff,
be year
right?
two of four.
And what exactly what do they do?
What does Dark Trace do?
Yeah.
It's continually monitoring our network for anomalous actions and taking action on our behalf to protect the system.
For cyber security, right?
It's kind of like having a third employee there 24/7, always watching.
I have some questions. So we, I brought this up before about, you know, potential like hostage taking of our content and seizing our
yes.
everything. But I thought that CIS, who we already have, you know, a contract with covers us for that, but this does not seem to be that. So are we double covered in some way? But CIS isn't specifically about our machines and our cloud-based whatever, et cetera. Hopefully you make sense of what I meant and can answer that.
You did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, so so essentially what this what Darktrace does, amongst many other things, is that it will take immediate action of preventing ransomware from getting a hold on the system. So if you don't have something like that in place, then ransomware attacks can take over your network, take over your storage area network, eliminate everything, and you're down.
Right.
I mean, no industrial control, no police, nothing, nothing. We're dead in the water for days, weeks. I mean, we've seen neighbor agencies who've been down for 4 weeks or more and nearly lost everything. So it can be incredibly expensive to if you get a ransomware attack.
But what does CIS do as opposed to that?
Yeah, I think well, the CIS,
insurance, like the cost of getting pay out.
What I understand about the CIS was that the League of Oregon Cities, we had a presentation from them, and we're insured for $50,000 if our system is attacked. They'll come in and repair it. But it's a lot of times they say it's a lot more than $50,000.
I thought it was.
So that's the CIS as an insurance policy against
right.
Once if this company tries to prevent that from happening, CIS comes in if it happens. Okay.
The other thing on CIS, Dietmar and I attended their session to buy the additional insurance. You have to have systems like this in place.
Did we buy the additional Spencer?
No, we can't because we don't have those. We didn't have those systems in place at our renewal last year.
Can we buy? Can we approve this and kick up to that? Because I just that's we're.
Right.
We will be crippled.
We're trying to prepare to buy the additional coverage, but to do that, we have to have certain things in place, and this is.
They will only go up to $500,000. I mean, $250,000. I think.
Yeah, there's still limits on the on as far as they'll cover. So,
Does Darktrace have any warranty for their service?
I don't think they can provide necessarily any absolute guarantees, but they are a global company, and they've got case records as recently within the last four weeks of preventing ransomware attacks at a financial institute in South Africa. A hospital in France and the Church of England in Canterbury. So they're very well established as a global agency. So I think we're on very firm footing with this.
And there's a number of Oregon.
Yes, and there are any number of Oregon agencies as well who are also engaged with that.
I have a question. You said it's based on French, so there are. I mean. Data, everything, this program, I mean, is based in a different country. Is that what I'm listening? Or, I mean, it's based here in the United States?
I think they originated actually out of Cambridge in the UK. That's where they started. But they're a multinational company. They have offices in San Francisco and Seattle.
Any other question? Okay, we're going to have a vote on approving an additional $34,536 from the general fund. All in favor?
Thank you.
Did we
Anyone
get a
opposed?
We didn't get a motion or a second, I don't think, technically on that.
Well, I thought we did. Dean usually motions everything.
Dean made a
motion. Arjun
said pretty much
his
yes man.
But if they didn't move retro, it's good. It's all good.
Dean.
That is it for the action items.
One additional one.
We got one additional.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. On a May 17th memo, additional hit and, this is a big.
Go ahead and explain it
because I can't.
Yeah. So the city, in our capital outlay budgeting processes, we had a kind of a challenging process pulling everything together. We have a new city engineer, a new public works director,
an acting finance director, no assistant finance director. So one of the things we missed in this thing was in our capital outlay is our the agreement, the funding for the agreement that we have with Dig Deep Research, as well as for our federal and state lobbyists that are working with us on primarily the Big Creek Dam funding. And so we had to go back and make some tweaks to the budget, and those tweaks include $100,000 coming from the general fund, $50,000 for our state lobby contract, and $50,000 for our federal lobby contract. And then the balance of funds is for a Dig Deep allocated from various projects that are outlined in the report to fund those components. This has been a critical component for us having success in getting the $14 million in state funding, we are looking at $60 million potentially in federal funding. This is all part of that process to really develop the support for these substantial funds that are absolutely necessary to complete the Big Creek Dam. And so anyway, these have been ongoing agreements for a number of years, and this carries on the work that we've been doing.
We've had very good success with Deep Dig. For every dollar we give them, I think they give us seven in return.
That's what the return has been that's not considering $60 million, but
that's before the $14 million, I think, was
it? I think that's before the $14 million too, if I'm not mistaken. So
right, let's somebody make a motion to for a $380,000 project for Grant Consulting Services.
$100,000
Total is $480,000.
$480,000. Anybody want to spend that?
So much.
Oh, CM does.
I'll second.
Ready.
Any further discussion? I just had a question. What do fire panels have to do with?
That's where we robbed money from. We couldn't take any more money from Golf Course Drive.
Okay. It's just where it was stolen from. Yeah. Okay. All right. We do have to have a quick public hearing. I know we still have all the R items to go.
We got to vote on this?
We're not going to make it. Oh, I thought we did. Okay. No. Who's in favor of that? Hooray. All right. Anybody not in favor of that or doesn't want to vote at all? Okay. So we have a public hearing to do. We've got some public comment to consider. And then we have all of our R items, response items to review to see if any of them want to turn into action items. So we've only got 45 minutes. So I didn't do as good a job as I was hoping in moving this whole thing along. So let's try and keep with it. All right, first thing, we're going to have a public hearing on the uses of state shared funds. And I don't know where the piece of paper is, but it's just a matter of opening the hearing, see if anybody wants to testify, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And we did this last meeting, so we'll do it again.
Okay, so we're having a hearing on uses of state shared funds. Does anybody have any questions?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, and then I don't believe we have to vote on it. We just have to have the hearing.
Yeah, you have to open the public hearing.
Okay, no public comment, no questions. Hearing is closed.
I do think, though, we could all smoke, drink, gamble, smoke weed, and what else more?
The state gas tax.
Don't we have a couple other public comments?
We do. We're not there yet.
Not there yet.
Okay, we did have...
So, Peggy, you got the time start and time stop on the public hearing?
I do.
Oh.
Seconds.
All right. We do have two public comments.
The Wendy Engler one has been addressed.
Yep.
Yes, it has. So we're talking about Carla Perry's memo. And she's bringing up a subject that comes up every year, and we put things in the goals and we put things in
budgets, and situation doesn't seem to get any better. She's done a lot of research here to come up with dollar amounts, and part of it is a staffing issue, and part of it, I think, is just a motivation issue to let's do some of these things. I know a lot of our fines are designed to force compliance, as we talked about with short-term rentals, that the object is not to raise money, but the object is to force compliance, but it doesn't seem to work all the time.
She's asked that this be read, so we should have.
Oh, okay, Peggy, you're up.
It's actually, Eric is up.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
This is his debut.
We have a letter here from Carla Perry. She says she will not be able to attend the budget committee meeting in person. She wants the following read out loud. She says, to the Newport Budget Committee members, last year, the 2021 Budget Committee inserted the requirement for the city to include an additional $100,000 in revenue in the budget by pursuing past due fees and fines. That requirement was not addressed during the past year. And Spencer's April 21, 2022 report included in the Budget Committee agenda, he provided the following statement about that directive. Specifically, item number 6, what is the status of the reports from finance on addressing collection of fees? With staffing shortages in both finance and my office, the council agreed to a new time schedule for these discussions. This is especially critical as we fill the finance director's role. We have not had the bandwidth to take a comprehensive look at other ways to address these issues. The revised schedule can be found in the responses to council goals and objectives for the next fiscal year. Carla continues, however, I cannot find any reference in the proposed 2022-2023 budget that includes this required source of revenue funds. I raise this issue because the city of Newport is still going forward in its pursuit of having residents cover the city's deficits through proposals to increase gas taxes, raise water sewer fees, raise property taxes, and other methods, rather than by securing that revenue by pursuing past due fees and fines. It is imperative that this source of revenue does not fade into the background due to lack of staff bandwidth. Every year, the city of Newport leaves about $1 million on the table. According to Spencer's March 9th, 2022 Finance Monthly Report, the most recent I could find on the city's website, Steve Bauer, interim finance director, provided these figures. Water sewer billings had a balance of $323,142 past due, $2,228, or $228,953 of that amount past due since 2021. Airport rents and leases had $174,034 past due, $166,147 of that past due for more than 120 days. Business licenses had $54,849 past due, with almost the entire amount past due more than 90 days. And a $25,599 lien added to a 2014 decision, no mention of the original lien amount. The past due amounts from just the above items totals $808,024. This figure does not include unpaid fines, penalties, and interest from any of the funds listed as part of the city's proposed 2022-2023 budget. Also, the city of Newport has never audited payments made by hotel, motel, and short-term rental owners, although the city's auditing committee deemed it should develop a plan to do so 3 years ago. I know the city hopes the state of Oregon will take on this task someday, but that hope is not serving the residents of this city. Transient room taxes are the second most profitable source of city revenue after property taxes. The city's contract with Muni Revs is capable of handling short-term rental tax auditing. Why isn't it? Even Tiny Depot Bay contracts their TRT auditing using Granicus. The city of Newport needs to be careful about making residents pay for services used by people who don't pay the required fees for their business licenses, water sewer bills, airport rents, those who violate and are fined for illegal wastewater discharge, those who violate and are fined for illegal short-term rental operations, etc. $1 million a year could go a long way in making sure the needs of the residents of Newport are better addressed. In your role as budget committee members, I urge you to require the pursuit of past due fees and fines in the proposed 2022-2023 balanced budget you are now tasked with developing. Thank you for your consideration, Carla Perry, Newport, Oregon.
Okay, thank you. I don't know, Spencer, whether it's appropriate to have a discussion on this, make some kind of motion.
Yeah, we can have a bit of a discussion on it because there's some information that's, I don't think is quite.
Yeah, I accidentally gave my notes.
Oh, this is the. I was like, what?
Annotated here. So just while Steve is coming up, some of the numbers that that are referred to here are long time.
That have never been written off by the city. Some of these numbers were during COVID, which obviously can kind of explain why they're.
But why don't you run down the numbers that Carla had cited?
So the for the wastewater sewer billings, I estimated it was a little bit closer to 177,000. That's currently, and part of that is due to we switched the way we process the online credit cards and. We sent out a lot of flyers to customers to explain how to switch over, but I just don't think they quite got the information.
I got it and got billed twice. So
yeah. You paid twice. That would have helped.
I did pay twice.
Okay. Well, thank you.
That's the problem.
So I think that's why that one's running a little bit higher than normal. But I think we do have that a little bit, quite a bit more under control because this is the first month we're going to actually send out big notices, and they're far less than what we were showing during the transition period. And then the airport, she actually has these numbers mixed around. These are actually credits that the we have a major lease with the airport and they prepaid. So these are actually negative numbers on the report. So we actually don't have receivables for the airport. We actually got money that prepaid.
Right, because they paid for 3 years worth and we're allocating out. There's a negative number that she picked up as a positive number.
Okay.
And then on business licenses, again, this is staffing level, but how this works is whoever's was listed as a business license the previous year, the system automatically bills them again for a renewal. But a lot of businesses are out of business, and so the system bills them, but they're not truly invoices that we're going to get paid on because
That begs the question, what about the ones that are? Does the CSO ever take this list and see driving around town? Oh, look, they don't have a business license, but they're still operating.
No, they have in the past, but not. I don't think in the current year we have it, because I think the staffing level, again, for the police department was, they've been understaffed also.
Oh, well.
So for the past year, no.
But see what happens with a lot of, a contractor comes in, we do a project here, that's the only project they do, they continue to get, they show up as in arrears for the years, because right. We've never taken them out of the system.
They've taken them out of the system, so that's where a large portion of that is coming from. It's not a true invoice. That's part of the cleanup that we need to do in the system.
So based on your inspection, do you have an aging on these fines and fees that aren't paid?
You're talking about actual fines and fees not paid?
Yeah, these outstanding past due amounts. I mean, is there an aging on those? Because she's characterizing them in a couple of different categories. You've answered some of that, but like for instance, the water sewer billings, I think you said it was something like 170,000 in actual.
177,000.
Do you have an aging on that?
Yeah, I print out an aging report once a month, and then that's kind of what I put in my staff report.
So just to get a handle on how big the really delinquent stuff is, because I do agree with the sympathy that once aging gets too long on stuff, you almost have to write it off. So.
Well, and
what is the over 90? Is it? I don't know. Is it 70 grand? Is it 100 grand?
I think what we could probably do a little report on this for our last meeting to kind of bring this back because that's kind of a quick sketch of
sure.
This isn't necessarily representative of what's actually available to collect, but I think we can give a report to
to the group, we can send it to Carla as well so that she can understand the numbers and we'll bring.
Yeah, I think that addressed Carla's issue.
The other big thing that she didn't mention here is that whole rogue.
Well, she sort of mentioned it.
The fines. Well, she says include unpaid fines and interest, and but there's no numbers associated. That was a huge number. And I know we're never going to actually collect it.
No, but they actually did pay.
Yeah, rogue did pay. See, that
they paid the part of it.
Right. And then the rest of it was part of the solution to reduce their solids coming into the plant. So, and that was part of a stipulated agreement that council, or that we approved. And
I did a little research on the penalties and fines. What's happening is currently in our Cresel system, it was never properly set up properly. And so a lot of times when those fees and fines hit the account, they actually hit the original revenue account. So that's why you don't see them separated out of the revenue.
Which was an issue that Carla raised at the first meeting, so.
There's another issue I'd like to also consider is the piece about how we have not audited payments by hotels and motels and short-term rentals. Like that, you know, that feels like an opportunity for us to consider pursuing. But like others have said, I think there's a lot of content in here that is worth really drilling down on and follow up what is possible to pursue and get what is owed to the city.
I remember discussions about lodging revs, and that was one of the functions that they were going to do on a periodic basis.
Right, they do an estimate. Yeah, lodging revs can do an estimate based on the social media context. It's not an actual number that you can tie to directly, but it gives you an indication of what they think a property should be generated, mm-hmm. so that you can compare it with what is being generated.
But they haven't done that yet.
No.
Dan, to be fair, that's not lodging rev. That's us. The finance department has had on its list of things to do for some time automating the collections of the room tax. If that gets automated, then we can work with lodging revs on an audit. But until we get that automated on our end, lodging revs can't do a whole lot. So. You know, initially, as I recall, finance department, Mike Brzezinski at the time, was looking to utilize Cassell, I believe, or some functionality in Cassell for that purpose. That didn't pan out. And then was going to be pursuing, as Carla mentioned, working with the state through a state agreement for the State Department of Revenue to collect on our behalf. If that gets done, then we can have lodging revs do the audit. But that piece needs to happen, and it hasn't happened yet.
But anyway, we'll provide a report on that for you for the next meeting, and if there's some recommendations you have coming out of that, we can certainly incorporate them in the final recommendation for the budget committee.
I would really appreciate having that, because that's an issue people approach me with occasionally on occasion.
Okay.
Can we get to Wendy's later?
What?
Yeah. She asked about item which we approved.
We addressed it.
Okay, now we've got a whole list of response items. We did get responses where appropriate, either in the small text on the spreadsheet or as separate written documents. Does anybody have any questions about individual items? Or any further action or any suggestions to modify the budget to remedy any of the problems pointed out by some of these questions?
Bob, can you clarify where you're looking? I'm sorry, I'm not following.
Pardon?
Where are you looking?
I'm looking on the spreadsheet. There's a bunch of items coded R for response.
Under forecast projections?
No. We're still back on the hidden wish list.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And
it's a third attachment.
So, any discussions on any of that? I had marked some questions. If
but I don't want to just be the only one here. Did everybody read all those responses? I know they were somewhat difficult to sort out and tie back to their originals, but everything is there. And nothing? Well, now I'm going to be very disappointed if we're getting done early.
All in favor?
Okay, I found all the responses adequate. A lot of the things were just put off, but the emergency cash was one that bothered me. Seems to me that the fire department and the police department ought to have access to all the available caches.
I agree.
And they all, one way or another. Obviously, yeah. Universal keying would be ideal, but that opens up potentially, I guess, some security issues with one organization or another. But I think it's something that should be looked at, because when that tsunami hits, all hell is going to break loose, and you aren't going to be able to call four different people to open four different caches. You're not going to be able to call anybody. So I'd like to see some work done on that. And I'd like to move that we recommend to City Council that they investigate the possibility of all emergency caches, that the fire department and the police department have access to all emergency caches within the city limits. Rob, anybody like to Rob, second that?
Second.
Rob, do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So, it obviously, you brought up an important issue about access to the caches. Since most of the caches are in a location that are not secured, they need to be locked up, for obvious reasons. The difficulty comes in the ownership of the caches. There's a variety of owners, and I specified that with each of the different locations. And so we are definitely willing and interested to work with each of the owners on access and being able to get, access to different caches. I can, right now, our emergency preparedness coordinator, Dell, is in conversations with Lincoln County School District, Sue Graves, because we're working with her right now and putting in the newest cache at Sam Case Elementary. And that specific issue has been brought up between them. It's still being worked out. It sounds like, at least right now, the school district is not, they're not really sure about handing us any keys. We are talking about, is there a way we can do like a dual lock system? Connex boxes aren't really set up for that. With how they're made. It is something that we're going to address and we're going to look into what different options are. The one up on Safe Haven Hill, we put a key box on. That's how we, address that. And there may be something like that we could do, but we got to address that with the individual owners. For example, the one at the college, it's owned by the college. And so the other thing is, if need be, we as the fire department, and I'm sure probably a couple of the other public departments, we have very, very large bolt cutters. And we can get in them if we need to get in.
They do have the master keys.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do have a motion just to have City Council continue to recognize that this is a problem and take appropriate action. Any more discussion on that? All in favor? Any opposed? Abstentions? Thank you.
Caching and humidity control generally are problems that supplies in Western Oregon regionally, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. Not just coordination, but the stock rotation and all those other issues.
Yeah. There, at one point, we got a list of city-owned buildings not used by the city. I'm not sure who asked that or what. You did? Okay. What was your concern there?
Well, the concern is if there's buildings that aren't used by the city, why do we have them? You know, so I've got the list, and I actually asked Peggy some time ago for a list of all the buildings. So, you know, it's just one of these ongoing type of analyses that I'm doing.
When I looked at the list, I would have been real curious to see in some kind of either assessed valuation or an actual a book value for those buildings. But it's a good question, you know. Why do we own the Pig and Pancake building?
Free pancakes.
Oh my God, why
only for the mayor.
Everybody knows that.
Free pancakes.
Anybody want to initiate any action based on that, or?
I want my pancakes.
Hmm?
I want my pancakes.
just to note on the one list, the one building that council has had appraised and has initiated the potential sale of it, held off during COVID, is the building that we own on the bayfront.
Abbey Pier.
Abbey Pier. And so that's something that we will be exploring, Steve, potentially selling that building going forward. But we were waiting for the commercial market to improve, and I know we've got a couple of realtors here. I don't know if it's commercial market is.
Steve and I will do an arm wrestle for the
<All yours. laughs> I don't touch the bayfront. You gotta watch the pilings.
That's true. That's true. Gravity and water are the problem out there.
There are challenges of owning buildings above water, so.
More challenges for buildings that are not above water.
Yeah.
That have water underneath them.
Okay, I don't see any other notes that I made. Anybody else notes on the request items? Then any comments from anybody for the good of the organization?
Thank you for doing a wonderful job of running this meeting.
I must have. Look at that. See him?
As we're going through all of the different agenda items and things, in the different departments, at one point, I think when Mike was talking and later when Rob was talking, I just was overcome with the gratitude for the city employees having done so much with so little and really struggling over these last few years. And I know morale has dipped. I know it's really hard to do more with less. And we're rockstar volunteers and they're rockstar staff. So I just want to extend gratitude to all of you on the dais and
you haven't heard the expression less is more.
Oh my gosh.
Well, with that, we are adjourned. We'll see you all in a week.
1 week.
1 week.
Six
same
o'clock.
Place. One. Different time.
No, five.